those circumstances which change the character of the sin. Sin with a person of the same gender must be confessed as sin for a woman with another woman, or a woman with a man. But even that is not enough. If the person with whom the sin was committed is of the opposite gender or opposite sex, the penitent must say whether either he or she, the penitent, or the person with whom the sin against charity was committed, whether it was a single or married person. Because adultery is not the same sin as fornication. Adultery is a sin between one married person. Now, if they are both married persons, that is a more grave sin than if one is married. And again, if, say, it's a woman confessing, it's another person, that person is a man, and that person, say, is not married, and the woman confessing is married, either she says, "Then I am married," or, "And the man with whom she sinned against chastity also is married." Finally, whether that other person, in case he is a man, was a priest or not. A woman sinning, it would be adultery if she's married. But she must then also confess, and the one with whom she committed adultery was a priest. And this is where, in training priests, we tell them, you must ask certain questions. The year before ordination, in the Society of Jesus, over the centuries, you would have a special examination. They were still scholastics, not ordained. And they were given about 3 months to prepare for that examination. And the examination was called audiendas, for the hearing of confessions. Three of us priests would be the examiners, the examinee, the judgment, after 3 months of preparation. He then is sitting at a desk, and we three priests are sitting in the classroom, and the examination lasts 30 minutes. Each priest goes to confession for 10 minutes. Now, of course, we don't really go to confession because the poor fellow there is not a priest. But we go to confession. And, for example, it is good if we can imitate, "Father, I am a little girl. I am 6 years old. This is my first confession. And then, many cases, the seminarian, he is silent. If he's silent, he flunks, he fails. Now he better start talking to a child. And has to use simple language. Use big words. He fails the examination. And fails the examination once. 2 weeks later, he's given another examination. If he fails too often, he may be ordained a priest, but forbidden to ever hear confessions. Because you have to know how to deal with penitence. And, of course, then the examinee is graded on how well he heard confessions. And, of course, you can't imagine some of the complicated cases, because 10 minutes, sisters, is a long confession. At any rate, the circumstances change the nature of the sin. They must be confessed. And over the centuries, until Pope John Paul II, he changed the Jesuit law. For centuries, we used to ordained after we were 3 years in theology. In our fourth year, ordained priests are still going to class. Pope John Paul changed that. No more. No ordination for anybody until you finish your theology, which is 4 years. But when I was teaching my own Jesuits, for example, 1968, and Pope Paul VI issued Humani Vitae, and the young seminarians, say, and not so young, in their 30s, were doing confessions. And many priests who, because they were misled by so many bishops in the United States, sisters, when Pope Paul VI issued Humani Vitae, the bishops of the United States wrote a long, long document. They spent days putting the document together, and the end was each person in contraception can follow their own conscience and ignore the teaching of the Vicar of Christ. And no wonder so many priests then were confused. Again, that the confession of sins is only useful for giving instruction or consoling. No, it is necessary by divine law.